They didn't make it easy, but the Tigers prevail and win the NIT. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman. And what a game that was in the NIT championship. A game that Auburn absolutely dominated in the first half, let slip away in the second half, and then prevails in overtime as the Tigers win their first ever NIT championship in program history. 22 wins in season number one under head coach Stephen Pearl. And now Auburn looks ahead to the offseason and the 26-27 season and everything that's to come, and with a positive outlook. Yeah, that game did not end the way you want it to in regulation, but you win, and that's all that matters in that tournament format. Survive and advance. There's nowhere left to advance, so Auburn is crowned the NIT championship. Be sure to hit the like button and subscribe right here to the Barn Podcast Network on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcasts, because we've got so much to break down and talk about tonight and over the next several days, recording this right after Auburn's victory over Tulsa and the NIT championship in Indianapolis. And like I said, boy, oh boy, this game was just a wacky one. And you know, when the season ends this way, it's hard to get into this and really break things down too much in the aspect of how we've done it this year. Because, quite frankly, who gives a rip that Auburn blew a 21-point lead? I don't, because Auburn won the game and the season's over. So what? We're going to do it anyway. But it's kind of funny doing this and thinking about it this way because the Tigers come out and are on fire. Tulsa was not ready for this team. And I have to think it has a little bit to do with the fact that Tulsa hadn't played a high major opponent since Kansas State back in November. And that Kansas State team was pretty terrible this season, and Tulsa lost that game. So I really think it was kind of a shell shock for the Golden Hurricane to come out and face an Auburn team that was really just a win away from the NCAA tournament. And it just came out obviously locked in. You can tell from this NIT run how locked in and ready this Auburn team has been for this moment. And while, yes, we'll get to the second half in a minute and what went wrong there, you can just tell in really all these games. Yes, the South Alabama game is one thing, but in the rest of these NIT games, there was just a different mojo with this group, with Tahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton and Elijah Freeman and Keyshawn Hall, Philip Jovich especially, and then Sebastian Williams Adams. They all made a difference when it really mattered and knew what was on the line and knew that if Auburn was to lose, the season was over. And they knew no matter what, last night, the season was over and that they wanted to end it with the win, which they do, 92-86. And you look at the first half again, just Tahad Pettiford is on fire, 15 points on 5-10 shooting. He had 3 assists and no turnovers. And that was the second most first half points he had scored all season long. There's a lot to get to here. I'm recording this as just right after the game, after getting done with the broadcast on the Auburn Sports Network, and there's some stuff coming through that we're going to get to, and is very, very critical to Auburn's future. But Tahad, 9th game with double digits in the last 10, but it was his 8th time this season that he scored in double figures in the first half. He scored 16 in the first half at Arizona and against Tennessee in the SEC tournament. So, yeah, he continues to show his prowess away from Neville Arena in big games. And that continued into the second half after Auburn had finally settled in into that second half and figured things out. But then the guy who was named the most outstanding player of the NIT, it was Kevin Overton. And he had 14 points in the first half and then ultimately ends up with 26 points in the ball game. And again, just a fantastic performance by him and Pettiford to combine for 50 points. Overton hits the huge three in overtime. Pettiford had the big dunk, and also that just the incredible layup, where you know that he has an incredible layup package, and Pettiford showed it off in that overtime period, including that dunk. And then Overton just hit that dagger of a three from way downtown. So those two guys combined really just set the tone early and then carried Auburn back into the game. And that's not to mention the performances of Filip Jovic and Sebastian Williams-Adams. Jovic fouled out, so he only played 26 minutes and didn't get to play down the stretch of this ball game. But Sebastian Williams-Adams with 13 points on 5 of 12 shooting, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, two critical free throws in overtime that made a huge difference. And I know what everyone was thinking when that happened. It was a tie game, and Sebastian gets fouled, and he goes to the line and is absolute stones. That was so encouraging to see, especially when he's already played 30-something minutes and hasn't shot a free throw yet. But he was awesome. And then Elijah Freeman, 6 points, but that's not where he made his impact. 14 rebounds, a career high for Elijah Freeman. And he wasn't the only one grabbing boards left and right. Keyshawn Hall did the same thing. He had a double-double, 11 points, 12 rebounds. It was the eighth double-double of Keyshawn's season, the 21st of his career. Unfortunately, it does end with him fouling out in the second half, and he has to watch the rest from the bench. And say what you want about Keyshawn Hall and everything that happened this season, and you all know. But he was one of the vocal ones that wanted to play in this NIT tournament. He was the one that went to Stephen Pearl and said, "We want to play, and I want to play." And yeah, he probably didn't have his best game throughout these five games. He played well against Illinois State, and he wasn't the scoring threat that he had been all season long against Tulsa last night in the championship game. But again, he's grabbing rebounds like crazy. He had a few nice assists that one to Sebastian Williams-Adams late in the game that, I mean, I think it got the offense back in a groove where it felt like it could come back from the deficit that it ended up facing. Like Tulsa led by 5 with 1:05 to go. And it kind of led down the stretch of that game after it had 2 kill shots in about a 5-minute span. And boy, did it seem like Auburn was done for the Tigers. And it wasn't, fortunately, as they fought back in it. And then you really have to talk about what Cade Magwood and Blake Michalik did because of the absence of Hall and Jovic with them fouling out. Those two guys step up and they don't fill up the box score or anything, but they do their job. They go in and make sure things don't get catastrophic. And fortunately, that was the case. And here's the key. We've talked about the three-point shooting all season long and how poorly the Tigers have defended it. Tulsa, one of the best three-point shooting teams in the nation, 6 of 26 from deep. Only one guy hits more than one three, and 5 guys do hit three, but yes, 23.1% from deep. That's how you win ball games, and Auburn was able to prevent that. They got some consistent looks inside. You don't love that, but with the way that Tulsa has shot the three this season, this is the way it had to be. And Auburn, the offense, fortunately, was good enough at times to win it by 6 points. 44.8% from the field, 40.7% from three, 11 of 27, 4 from Taha Pettiford, 5 from Kevin Overton, 1 from Hall, and then 1 from Sebastian Williams-Adams is really the difference in this game. Taha, total, 8 assists to 3 turnovers. That's the difference. That's how you win championships. And it was really, really stellar outing. So let's talk about that second half and where things just went wrong and how it became such a struggle. And I'll start off with saying credit to David Green of Tulsa. 25 points, 8 of 17 shooting, just 1 of 7 from 3, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. But he was the catalyst for the Golden Hurricane. And that's not to take away credit from a guy like Tylan Riley, who was also really good with 20 points. But Green was the one that you could tell was frustrating this Auburn team and just taking advantage on the inside. And I'll have to go just kind of look at it because, yeah, there was a 12-0 run by the Golden Hurricane where Auburn – so Kevin Overton hit a field goal with 15:15 to go in the game. It was 57-39. Then a 12-0 run where it gets broken up by Tahad Pettiford hitting two free throws. That made it 59-51. And then immediately Tulsa goes on another 10-0 run and takes the lead by two, 61-59. Sebastian Williams Adams then hits that shot, hits a layup where the tie of the game, and Auburn's just kind of trying to keep pace. Tulsa goes up by four at the under eight timeout, and then Auburn goes on its own run, goes on a little 6-0 run with the sway dunk that I talked about on the awesome dish by Keyshawn Hall behind the head, and then Freeman hits a free throw and KO hits a three, and then it's back and forth from there into overtime. But that about from the 15-minute mark to that 10-minute mark where Tulsa goes on a 22-2 run, it felt like the Tennessee game again. And Sebastian Williams Adams, he joined us on the Auburn Sports Network on our post-game show and told Andy that, yeah, that's exactly what he was thinking, because, I mean, you could tell he was amped up, and he used everything in the tank, because Sebastian, let's see how many minutes he played. I'm sure it was a lot, 36 minutes, and not as many as I thought it was, but it might have been a season and a career high for him, and I'll double-check that. But it's one of those things where when it comes down to it, you just get to a point where everything's just it's a blur. And so Sway played 41 minutes against Georgia. So that was his season high, but he had only played 36 minutes. That was it, I believe. Yeah, he played 36 against Vanderbilt, and then, yeah, 36 against Tulsa. So his career high came against Georgia with 41 minutes. That was another overtime game. That was another game he referenced with Andy on the post-game show. And, yeah, he just talked about how they had those flashbacks, but they stuck with it, and he quite frankly said they learned from it, and that was good to hear, especially because you're trying to get so much of this core back and build off of them into this offseason, into next season. And listen, Sway's one of the guys that you can just tell he loves Auburn, and Auburn loves him back as well. Going down the team stats, and a lot of this, like the turnovers, I'm not sure if that was quite a different. It wasn't quite different in the first half. Tulsa only had one more turnover than Auburn, but the rebounding is where things got different. Auburn out-rebounded Tulsa 19-11 in the first half, 7 offensive boards to 2 offensive boards for the Golden Hurricane. And then in the second half is where things got a little bit different, where Tulsa out-rebounded the Tigers 19-17. Didn't really have a ton of second chance points, but the rebounding made a difference, where Auburn really couldn't do what it wanted to on the glass like it did in the first half. And then fast break points, because Auburn had 7 turnovers. The key was Tulsa scored 12 points off of those. I'm looking at this wrong. Fast break points is 12. But that's the thing. Tulsa just had its way running the floor. Auburn only had 1 fast break point. And that's part of Auburn playing that way because of its lack of depth. There were no deep rotation anymore, but still certainly a factor in this game was that Tulsa ran the floor in the second half. Same fast break points, 12 of them came in the first and second half. And I would imagine in the midst of that big run that the Golden Hurricane had. So yeah, again, just a wild, wild game. And would you have it any other way? I know a lot of people are like shaking their head. Yeah, absolutely. We would like to win this game going away. But this game starts to see that the season starts with an overtime win over Bethune-Cookman. It ends with an overtime win over Tulsa. That's just how it goes. And Auburn's NIT champions, first time ever in program history. Look, it's not ideal. It's not what this team aspired to do or anything like that. But it had the opportunity in front of it, and it took it by the horns and won the championship. So it's bringing home a trophy. It's bringing home a couple of nets and some nice championship gear as well. So just, yeah. What a wild season it's been. A roller coaster of a season, safe to say. And I want to later this week, we'll get into looking ahead to the offseason in just a moment. But I do want to look back at this season and talk about it, because obviously it was tumultuous and so many headlines, I should say, leading into the season with the retirement of Bruce Pearl and Stephen Pearl stepping in as the head man. And I just want to talk about it from that day, from that first day of practice when the retirement was announced, and then all the way to the Bethune-Cookman game, to Auburn losing that Texas A&M game the way it did, then beating Florida on the road, the Gators ultimately becoming a one seed in the NCAA tournament, and then obviously the stretch that cost Auburn an NCAA tournament appearance, and then into the NIT run. Like, I want to break it down and talk about what went well, just grading this season out is what I'm trying to get at. And we'll do that this week, because who knows what news is going to come out. And I'm going to get into kind of what was said after this NIT championship win in just a minute. But it's one of those things that you want to reflect. Yeah, you got to get into this offseason ASAP, because the transfer portal opens tomorrow after the national championship tonight. Oh, one other thing. Auburn has the longest winning streak in the nation right now. 5-game winning streak. That will end tonight as Michigan or UConn will win the national title and end the season on a 6-game winning streak. But Auburn will go into the offseason with the second longest winning streak in the nation. That's worth noting and a huge deal for momentum's sake. But again, with the lack of news, or I don't know what's going to happen this week. So depending on what happens, I think we're just going to kind of grade this season out and talk about the flows, you know, where things changed and how things didn't go Auburn's way. And then talk about the positives of this NIT run, as well as the wins over your SEC champions in Florida and the Big East champions in St. John's and things like that. So, look ahead to that for this week right here on the Barn Podcast Network and the Barn Hoops Podcast. But right now, let's talk about kind of what I'm hinting at with what's been said in the post game after this NIT championship win. And it's the return of this core. So the 8 guys that played last night: Taha Pettiford, Kevin Overton, Elijah Freeman, Keyshawn Hall, Philip Jovich, Caden Magwood, Blake Michalik, Sebastian Williams-Adams. So Keyshawn Hall is the one guy that just absolutely cannot return. He has no more eligibility. His collegiate career is over. The rest of them could come back. They have eligibility left, and they will have the option to return to Auburn for the 2026-27 season. Let's start with the guards and Taha Pettiford and Kevin Overton, and I'll throw Caden Magwood in that as well, and say there hasn't been much said there. I don't know what is going to happen there. But Kevin Overton and Taha Pettiford both met with the media, as you would imagine, with their combined 50 points in that NIT championship game. And, man, the way they talked about it, let's see if we can get the quote. Not really a quote, but it is what Kevin Overton talked about with having a conversation with Taha Pettiford, and being part of what will decide what he does. And I do go back to what he said on Tiger Talk earlier this season and how he wants to go to a school for more than 1 year. He hasn't done that yet, and this will be his only chance to do so, with next year being his final year of eligibility. So, again, very much a situation where he's weighing his options, and yeah, here it is. He said he and Tahad are both going to have a little sit down after this and decide what's going on for sure in regards to the future. That's something. I think a lot of people were kind of anticipating at least one of those guys leaving, and seems like they're weighing their options heavily and want to come back to Auburn. And obviously, it's just going to depend on what Auburn can do for Overton and Pettiford. And obviously, NIL is a huge factor in this, and that's why Auburn has hired Brian Clowman as a general manager, so that he can handle those kinds of things. And you know, he's already been having these discussions with these guys, and that's why this NIT run was so important to keep these guys together for as long as it did. Just that's the facts. And then looking at some of the other guys that obviously can return, and I think the big ones, Elijah Freeman, Sebastian Williams Adams, and Filip Jovic. So your front court. Elijah Freeman, straight up, when he was asked postgame, he straight up said he's locked in. To me, that tells me Elijah Freeman is back. And I think that was probably one of your top two or three guys that you wanted to bring back, considering his potential and what he can develop into. We know his athleticism. We know what kind of hype he has around him as far as pro prospects go. I don't think I have to dive into this anymore. I think that based off what he said, he's in. He is at Auburn next season. The next one is Sebastian Williams Adams. On what the NIT championship could do for team chemistry and things like that, here's his quote. I think it could be really huge. SP talks about our core returning. Several of us guys have flirted with that idea. I can't speak for really anybody else. We have seen what we can do in the NIT with how we perform. I think for us, that's important, looking at what our next chapter is. It's important to realize, like, okay, this core won the NIT together. What can we do with a roster where we know what we have? We can just add pieces to complement it. I think that's going to play a major factor in all of our decisions the next couple of days. That sounds like a guy that wants to come back to Auburn next year, to me at least. And like I said, the way he talked about things on the radio with us was a big deal. The other thing Sebastian brought up was how Filip Jovic taught him how to play center over this last couple of weeks. And we discussed it over the last several episodes, how Sway's been making mistakes, and the coach says, like, listen, man, like, you're fine because this is not your position. You haven't practiced this all year. But they're in class together. They're buds. They are best friends pretty much on this team. And basically talking about how they've helped each other grow, and getting Filip back would be a huge deal as well. So the transfer portal opens tomorrow. I don't know what we're going to learn tomorrow. I don't know what we're going to learn Wednesday or even beyond that. Like, you got to remember, it's a slow process. And that was the case with football. And that was the case with basketball even last year. Remember, Filip Jovic didn't get added to the roster until Memorial Day, I think. So it's going to be a slow churning process. Now, obviously, it would be great if just all those guys just right off the bat said, I'm back, we're running it back, and we'll see what Brian Clowman, Stephen Pearl, and the rest of the staff decide are worthy additions out of the transfer portal for next year's team. So I'll be on the lookout, and we'll see what's to come. But that is some of the most those are some of the most encouraging quotes that I've seen out of this over the last few weeks, because this clearly shows a lot of these guys are ready to come back and try and run it back and see what they can do when, again, they've been together for a year and they've had time to gel and there's chemistry there. So that'll be really, really awesome if that can happen. So let's see what happens. And that's all you can do. And again, depending on the new cycle and what happens this week. We might just look back and reflect on the season, grade it out, talk about what went wrong, what went right, and, you know, what could have been better, things like that. And then at some point, we're definitely going to be talking about the roster for next year and what Stephen Pearl and Brian Klowman and the rest of the staff can do to put together the best roster possible to compete for an SEC championship and a high seed in the NCAA tournament. Because obviously, number one is getting back into the NCAA tournament, and then the sky's the limit from there. So, man, that's going to do it for this season of the Barn Hoops podcast. Like I said, up and down season, and it all culminates in an NIT championship. And that's the thing is, yes, again, it's not where you want it to be. It is what it is, but you gotta be happy with it because it was the opportunity that was presented, and you took it by the horns and won it. So thank you for tuning in all season long, whether it's on your podcast platform or on YouTube. Make sure you hit the like button on YouTube and subscribe, and then do the same over on your podcast platform of choice to support the program. And as we head into this off season on the Barn Podcast Network, we're so excited to continue bringing you all this content and keep doing it throughout this off season, and then head into the 2026 to 27 season. Of course, we've got plenty of content with Auburn baseball and Auburn football spring practice going on. So it's not over for the Barn Podcast Network. I'll be slowing down a little bit, but not much with the new cycle that's about to be coming up. And we talk about the roster that's ahead for the Auburn men's basketball program. So I'm going to steal it from Kevin Overton. You know, when he was asked, you know, what are you thinking when it says Auburn is the NIT championship? It's a long pause, and hey, look, we'll take it. And that's how we're going to end it, because that's the mindset you got to have. We'll take it, and you move forward and you look ahead to next season. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Barn Hoops podcast.